All right, good morning. Welcome to our service today. I trust that everybody had a good week this past week and looking forward to some more spring this week. But I trust that the Lord is going to bless us with our services today. Looking forward to our service this morning. And then this evening, Trevor Grimes is going to be preaching to us, and certainly that is going to be a treat as well. But glad that you're here. Glad that I can be back in the pulpit and preaching from here, and hopefully soon, really in the pulpit, and you all out there. But until then, we're just going to do our best with what we have. So anyway, looking forward to this morning's service. Let's go ahead and grab our hymnals and turn to hymn number eight. Hymn number eight, Glorious is Thy Name. Hymn number eight, Glorious is Thy Name. Blessed Savior, we adore Thee. We Thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty, Thou art holy. Glorious is Thy matchless name. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Great Redeemer, Lord and Master, Light of all eternal days, let the saints of every nation sing Thy just and endless praise. Verse 3, from the throne of heaven's glory to the cross of sin and shame, Thou didst come to die a ransom, guilty sinners to reclaim. Verse 4, come, O come, immortal Savior, come and take Thy royal throne, come and reign forever, be the kingdom all Thine own. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we continue on this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness as we are able to still worship you. Lord, nothing can stop that, and we're grateful for that. Lord, I thank you for the technology that you've given to us so that we can be at least in the presence of your word together as a group of people. Lord, I pray that this morning would be an encouragement as we look at your word and an interesting topic that we all need to be aware of. So, God, would you help me as I give the words to these people? Lord, I pray that you'd be with the people, that their hearts and minds would be into it. Lord, would you do a work today? And God, we are asking that your name be honored and glorified through all that we go through this very day. And for it's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and go to another one. 277. 277. What if it were today? And I'll tell you what, I'm recording today, and I hope it is today. 277. We're all going to go ahead and go there. And if you don't have a hymnal at home, just follow along as I read these words. 277. What if it were today? Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over this whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, caught up to meet him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? What if it were today? Faithful and true would he find us here if he should come today, watching in gladness and not in fear if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. I don't know about you, but as I was reading those words, boy, it sure sounded familiar, even to what we're going through right now. Watching in gladness and not in fear. I tell you what, there are a lot of people afraid, but I trust that you are not afraid. Signs of his coming multiply. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I think that these signs are coming so quickly. And of course, what if it were today? I hope that it will be. But let's be watching and waiting until he does come. All right, one more. Let's go back all the way to the beginning, hymn number 28. 28, look ye saints, the sight is glorious. Hymn number 28, look ye saints, the sight is glorious. Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight returned victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow. Crown the Savior, angels crown him. Rich the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power enthrone him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him. Crown the Savior, King of kings. Sinners in derision crowned him, mocking thus the Savior's claim. Saints and angels crowd around him, own his title, praise his name. Crown him, crown him, spread abroad the victor's fame. Hark those bursts of acclamation, hark those loud triumphant chords. Jesus takes the highest station, oh what joy the sight affords. Crown him, crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. I trust those songs are a blessing to you this morning. Anyway, I hope you're all doing well and everybody's holding the fort in your own place. I've seen just a few of you. Haven't seen so many of you, but looking forward to that day. Of course, the end of the month is nearing. I don't know what the president is going to decide. I don't know what the governors are going to decide. But anyway, whatever the case is, let's remember to remain positive. Let's remember to thank the Lord for all that he has done and all that he's doing, all that he's going to do. And let's be positive, folks. We've got to be positive, and let's be encouraged in his things, looking forward to the Lord's return. Again, as I've said in different times when I've recorded, I miss many of you out there. And as I look across the auditorium here, I picture where you are normally sitting. But looking forward to the day soon when we can all get together. But this morning, we can all be together in spirit and in truth. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to take your Bibles. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that I trust will be a blessing to you. I've entitled the message this morning, The Importance of One. The Importance of One. You know, it seems that the pressures of pressures and even desire in ministry is that it is so important to be able to minister to hundreds and maybe in some cases even thousands. So many people in the ministry want to minister to so many. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. In fact, if God gives us more people to minister here at our church, that would be a blessing. We want more people to minister, but there is an element today that people want so much more. You know, young pastors want more people and want more and more people to minister to. And again, that is good as long as the motives are right. Why do we want more people? Is it for fame? Is it for fortune? Is it for publicity? Is it just so that people can look at that individual as a good preacher or a good pastor? We've got to be careful with this mentality of wanting so many people. I'll say it again, there's an element of good in this. We want to minister to more people, but I think we're going to see this morning that we've got to be careful of some other things. So I want to take a moment this morning to consider the practical ministry of Jesus and see something that it was important to him concerning numbers. I certainly think that Jesus wanted to minister to a lot of people. But where was Jesus' focus? Where was his focus? It was a pattern for Jesus to seem to avoid the crowds and seek to help the individual. Remember Jesus helping Nicodemus. Certainly he could have been ministering to others. Of course, Nicodemus came to him by night. But Jesus focused on Nicodemus and he helped him. The woman at the well, Jesus helped this single lady out. The nobleman's son that needed Jesus. A leper that needed healing. A cripple that needed healing, born of four. The woman that was caught in adultery and yet Jesus writes in the dirt, and the crowds go, and Jesus was left with a woman that was caught in adultery. Peter, Jesus dealt with Peter many times on an individual basis. It seems as though that Jesus dealt with many individuals. You know, in fact, with Jesus, you really don't hear of the mass revivals through his preaching and teaching, or even big programs that Jesus got started. Kind of the opposite, we see that Jesus dealt with many individuals. Jesus was all about individuals. I want us to look at a couple points this morning that I think will be a help to each and every one of us, because it's going to become very practical in how we deal with people on an individual basis. And it's not just me as a pastor with Faith Bible Church. It's you as a member. It's you as a person that comes here and attends our church, and how to be a blessing to the people that are around us. Number one, I want us to see that Jesus' main ministry was with the 12 individuals rather than the mass multitudes. Now, before we go on, some of you are saying, Pastor, we haven't turned to a passage. Where are we going? We're going to get there in just a moment. I want to just introduce a couple things. Jesus' main ministry, was with 12 individuals rather than the mass multitudes. You know, we see many times that Jesus was with a number of people. But many times Jesus leaves those people, and who does he end up settling in with? Those 12 individuals. Jesus spent most of his public ministry time, which would be about 18 months or so, primarily with those disciples. You know, he could have gone to the masses and spent all of his time there and said, you know, I've got to win all these people. Look what can happen if I can win 4,000 people or 5,000 people. Jesus certainly ministered to those people, but he went straight back to those 12. So he could have done this, yet he knew the power. And we've looked at this recently with our Discovery Bible studies. Jesus knew the power of individual relationships and the power of multiplication. Jesus knew that, and that's why he did it the way that he did it. And so just understand that Jesus had a close ministry with those disciples. I want you to see a second thing. This morning, our points are not equal. These to start are just a little bit of introduction. A second thing is Jesus taught of the importance of just one. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 18 for just a few moments. We're not going to stay here, but Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look in verses 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 and 13. Now, we've recently just been here as we have been looking on Sunday nights about offenses and how to deal with offenses, and then, of course, forgiveness and those sort of things. And so we've already been here in Matthew chapter 18. Look at verses 12 and 13. Notice the context for sure, but notice a small point that Jesus makes in here. He says in verse 12, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." Now, again, the context is offenses. Jesus cares about offending people, and if one is offended, we've got to make sure and leave everybody that's okay and go and make sure that that one offended is restored. Also, he's talking about children, although not the main point of the passage, but Jesus certainly loves his children, and he cherishes his children, and nobody should offend that one child. And Jesus pulls that child on his lap, and he ministers that child, and he wants to protect his children. He wants to protect that child on his lap. And certainly God, or Jesus, is talking about children. But understand a small point here. Notice in the passage he says, shouldn't one be able to leave the 99 and go to that one? And the rest of the world would say, no way, let's go to the 99. Listen, there's more potential here. Listen, one is just one. Folks, I want to tell you that's a humanistic philosophy there in which we see rampant in our world today. Let's go ahead and pass up this one for the sake of others. In God's mind and in God's word, each one individual was very important, and it was worth leaving the big masses to go and make sure and rescue the one. I want you to see that. Jesus certainly did not just look at major impact opportunities. If he did, he certainly would not have gone after the one offended sheep. Yet he did go after that one sheep, and to Jesus, it was worth it to him. You know, in our lives, it's easy to look at the masses or the group of people. And maybe at Faith Bible Church, we don't look at masses, hundreds and thousands of people. But it's easy to look and say, okay, well, I want to make sure and be okay with everybody else. And if this one individual is falling off, well, he's just one or she's just one. Folks, Jesus went after the one, and I think that we ought to go after the one as well. So we see that Jesus taught of the importance of just one individual, one sheep. I want you to see, thirdly, something else. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and I want you to, we're going to look at verses 1 to 16, and I don't know that I'm going to read all these verses, but here we have the passage of the Apostle Paul, of course, Saul. He was there on his way to Damascus. He was on his way to go and persecute Christians. He hated Christians. He wanted to see them gone. He hated Jesus. He hated all of his works, and he was against these Christian people. This is the passage in which we find Saul on his way, and then, of course, being blinded and struck down, Jesus coming to Saul and talking to him. And, of course, we have Saul's conversion, and he becomes Paul. And he gets up, and some help him, and he is helped. And it doesn't take very long, and the Apostle Paul is making his ministry known around the world. But here we have Acts chapter 9, and we have these 16 verses. I want you to notice verse 15, though. I could read all of it, but I'm not going to for sake of time. I want you to see as Jesus is speaking to Ananias, this one that is going to go and help Paul understand his ministry. He's speaking to him, and notice what is said in verse 15. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, referring to Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. All right, so here we have this story of Saul being converted to Paul. He's being changed. Okay? Notice that Jesus comes to him and he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus does some things which bring him to being such a help. Now, I want you to think of the body here. We're going to look at this situation here with Saul. Now, we know that God uses his church. In fact, we've studied that in our studies with Striving Together for the Faith of the Gospel. We've seen that through Discovery Bible Studies. God's mission is to the world, but his mission so that people can be saved, his mission is Jesus. He uses the church. Now, we understand that. Understand that Jesus uses the church so that his mission is accomplished. Now, understand the body is used. But what do we know about the body in order for the body to be used? We know that it's made up of individual members. And all the members, all the body parts together comprise the body so that the work of the ministry is accomplished. Individual body parts. He uses individual vessels that are used to accomplish his great works. And we see that here as Jesus is telling Ananias to go to him. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Chosen vessels to be used for God's service. Although the church is used, it's individual vessels that God uses. So we see that individual parts make up the body. And we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and see within that unity of the body, there is diversity in its members. God chooses to use individual members or body parts to accomplish His task. Remember, yes, it's about the church. Yes, it's about the entire group, but the group is only going to go far as the individuals go. Folks, what that tells us is that the individual is important if the whole is going to work. My individual body parts are important. I've used this illustration before, but have you woken up in the morning and there was one body part that was giving you fits? And you would also be quick to say and join me in the fact of saying, you know what, when my one body part is hurting, my whole body is hurting. Brothers and sisters, that is so true. It's so true that we've got to pay attention to the individual. Here God could have called the whole church to be the answer to the Gentiles, to be the answer to a lost and dying world. And He does use the church, but He used body parts. And I think it's interesting that God called this one man to do this great work. So we understand that individual body parts make up the body. Second of all, we see that He uses it to bear before many. Notice what is said in verse 15. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. To bear before many people, the Gentiles, the rest of the world that was not Jewish. He was going to be that bearer of the good news. He goes on in verse 16, for I will show him how great things, and I'm going to stop there. Wouldn't we all agree that Paul was used to bear before many? Wouldn't we all agree that Paul was used to do many great things? I mean, think of the Apostle Paul. He preached to so many people. He witnessed to so many individuals. He helped so many people. He helped so many churches get established and to appoint a pastor and then to help them on in their work. He wrote so many scriptures that continue to this day to be such a blessing to all of us. We see that God uses individual body parts to make up the body. He uses individuals to bear before many and to do great things. And thirdly, yet a very unlikely sort of a person for God to use. The Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, an ugly, short Christian hater, is the Apostle Paul. The point of this, folks, is this. Think about this. As we look at Paul, as we look at what Jesus and His disciples, the point is this. The value that Jesus placed on the individual is so important. He sought out Saul and he says, Saul, I want you. You know, and aren't you thankful that Jesus sought that individual that day on His way to Damascus? Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Aren't we so thankful that Jesus sought out those 12 and poured His life into those 12? Aren't we thankful for Jesus going after the individual? And sometimes it was to avoid the crowds. So many times we are looking at the group of people or the crowd. It's easy, for us to attend to the crowds and what looks to produce so much more. Honestly, folks, you know, we have a tendency to look and say, you know what, it's so important. I've got more important business here. I've got to meet the needs of the church, or I've got to meet the needs of this whole group of people. And, you know, I see this individual over here, and, you know, I just don't know that I can afford to do that. What about the individuals? What about individual vessels? You know, me as a pastor, you know, I get caught up looking at the whole flock And I have to meet the needs. And I see individuals all the time. I look and, you know, there might be a young lady here. And I know this girl has needs. And boy, her needs need to be met. And there's a young man over here. And boy, we got to focus on him. But, you know, I'll tell you that I'm tempted. I say, you know, but I have a whole congregation, a whole flock to take care of. I could look at a middle-aged person or an elderly person and say, you know what, this individual needs attention. They're falling away, or they're struggling, or I haven't seen them in church. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy for me to look at this situation and go after it and say, but I have to pastor the whole congregation. And yet, folks, I wonder how many times I have passed up individuals to meet the crowd's needs. And yet God is looking to meet individual needs so that he can meet the needs of masses in the future. You know, to some it seems such a great waste of time to reach out to this young man over here or to this person across the country over there that's reaching out to us. And how many times has that individual been passed up so that bigger things could be accomplished? Yet look at the results of the individual. I want you to think about the disciples. What if Jesus would have passed up 12 individuals? Wow, masses would not have been reached. What about the Apostle Paul? What if Jesus would have said, you know what, that guy, he's on the way out. He's a wicked guy. I'm going to forget him and I'm going to go to somebody who cares. I want to tell you something. We would all be destitute of so much because of that one individual. Think about George Mueller, this man that he was a little wretch. And yet there were individuals that helped him to become the man of God that he was. And yet he amounted to helping thousands. Think about Charles Haddon Spurgeon and the individuals early on in his life that gave him the attention that helped him to be the man of God that he would become, the preacher of preachers. I'll tell you what, the individual is importance. The importance of one, the individual. As we close this morning, who could you take some time to invest in? Who around you have you passed up because, well, there's more important people, or there's bigger groups, there's a whole church? Let's go off of me and the pastor. I want you to think about you just for a moment. What individuals are in our midst that are easy to pass up, that are easy to overlook? Well, they're just falling away, or they just don't have it all together. They're kind of on the side. I don't see how God could use them. I want to tell you something. The reason I preach this morning rather than look at 1 Peter, because there was something that happened this week in my own life that made me think about this. So easy, and it wasn't even in my life, at looking at somebody else. It was somebody, just other situations in my life that it was easy to look at more important and bigger work. And I wondered if it would be important for these people to look at an individual that might seem so insignificant. Yet I wonder what a little bit of attention, what a little bit of help, what a little bit of discipleship and help into that little individual life could possibly make such a big difference. And I've been convicted of that, and I wonder if all of us in our congregation would take the time to meet individual needs. I wonder if we would see greater work accomplished. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, when that one is one, they multiply into many other lives. Just look at the disciples. Just look at Paul. Look at what Jesus did in their lives. Look at what Jesus could do in these individual lives. Just might make a great difference. You see, the potential is there. They may be unlikely, But those are the ones that God loves to use. Folks, there's importance in one. I trust that this morning you've been challenged with this. Look around you and find that one. Pour your life into it. They may be the next Paul. They may be the next George Mueller. They may be the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And if they never are, we would follow Jesus in his pattern. I trust that we would do this. I hope this helps us to reach individuals in our church so that our church as a body can move forward and reach the world. Father, I thank you so much for giving us this challenge this morning. It's touched me. I hope that it would touch other people. God, I pray that you would use it a great and mighty way that we could see individuals touched so that the world could be reached. God, this is your plan. Yes, the church, but made up of individuals. Body parts. God, help us. Lord, I thank you for your good word and what it's done for us today. Give us a wonderful afternoon and bring us back again this evening to hear more of your good word. Thank you so much, and may your name be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope that this morning's been a blessing to you, and looking forward to what God is going to give us this evening. So for now, we'll talk to you soon. Be praying for our church that God would certainly bless.